We'd like to read now from Genesis chapter 21, beginning in verse 12. Genesis chapter 21, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad." This is where Hagar, you remember Abraham had been with Hagar. They had a child whose name was Ishmael. So as I call the word lad means a little boy. And this is talking about Ishmael while he was a little boy. And so he says, "And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad," that is because of Ishmael, "and because of thy bondwoman," that's Hagar, "in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept." I want you to picture now that Hagar and her child, her young child, her lad, her little boy, Ishmael, they're out in the wilderness and they have run out of water. And so Hagar doesn't want to watch Ishmael die. She doesn't want to see her little child die. So she takes her child and puts him over under a bush, and then she goes about a bow shot away, maybe 100 yards away, so that she doesn't have to actually watch him die. And while she's over there, away from the child that's under the shrubs, verse 17 says, let me read 16, "And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad." You notice that now. God heard the voice of the lad. Isn't that a marvelous thing? In the book of Exodus, we read about the children of Israel. We read about a whole nation of Israel. We read about them crying unto the Lord. And the Word of God says, "And the Lord heard their cry." We read many times in the Word of God about large groups of people crying unto the Lord, and the Lord would hear their cry. And it's good for a nation to cry unto the Lord. But it's also wonderful to know the magnitude and the infinite ability of God to look and see even a little child. And this little child is weeping. The Word of God says, "And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, and lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes." Now this well of water had been there all along, but she couldn't see the well of water. The Word of God says in verse 19, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer." I want us to go back to look very carefully at the expression in the latter part of verse 17, where the Word of God says, "Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." And I want you to think about those last three words. All the Bible had to have said was, "God heard the voice of the lad," but it's emphasizing God heard the voice of the lad where he is. And I want us to concentrate primarily this morning not just on the fact that God sees and knows about all of us, but I want you to know that God knows where you are right now. God knows where you are. And I'm not just talking about being in the church, but even though you're in the church, you're in the house of God, God knows where you are emotionally. God knows where you are physically. God knows where you are spiritually. God knows where you are in every way in your life. And the Lord heard the voice of the lad where he was. And I want all of us to thank God today that God heard the voice of that lad where he was, and that God hears the voice of His obedient children wherever they are. And God knows where they are. God knows everything about us. God knows more about you and more about me than we know about ourselves. You think about how much you know about yourself. Listen, there are a lot of things you don't know about yourself. There are times that we do things that we think we do them for one purpose, and in reality, we're doing it for some other reason. I think there are many times that God's children are out doing things trying to serve the Lord, and yet they're actually serving themselves instead of serving God. If what we do in our service to God, if it's not moved and motivated out of love and gratitude for God, then we're just out there trying to please ourselves or please other people. And that's a dangerous situation that all of us can fit into. The Lord heard the voice of the lad where he was. You think about all through the Word of God how God has heard the voice of His obedient children where they were. When Daniel was in the den of lions, did the Lord hear the voice of Daniel where he was? Right there in that den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in that burning fiery furnace. Did the Lord hear their voice where they were? And the Lord went right to where they were. And Nebuchadnezzar said that he said, did not we cast three down into the fire? And behold, I see four, and one is like unto the Son of God. Jesus was right there. You know, some people think Jesus had His beginning when He was born of the Virgin Mary. I want us to all know and understand that Jesus is eternal. And that all the way back there in the beginning of this world, when this world was created, that Jesus was right there. Jesus was back there in the Garden of Eden. Jesus has always been. He is eternal. And Jesus Christ has always heard the prayers of His obedient brethren. Now, I want to ask you, please, you can just go all the way through the Scriptures and look at a lot of different examples of the Lord hearing His people where they were. But I want us to go to the New Testament. I want us to look at something in a little more detail now. If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. I want you to notice Hebrews beginning in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. I want you to see that God knows where you are. You may be a resident in a nursing home, and you might feel like, well, nobody knows about me and my problems. Listen, God knows about you and your problems. God knows every burden you have. You may be having trouble with your roommate. Doesn't matter whether it's your roommate in college or your roommate in a nursing home or your roommate in your own house. God knows the problems that you're having in your life. And God cares about His people. He doesn't just know about them, but He cares about His people, and His people are supposed to be lifting up their voices to God and calling on the Lord, just like that lad cried, and the Lord heard the voice of the lad where he was. If you're trying to serve the Lord will hear your voice right where you are. Listen now in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. He sees you. God sees you where you are. Now, is that a comforting thought or a disconcerting thought? Yes, it's both. There are times that I'm glad God sees me where I am. There are times that I am so thankful that in the midst of all of my troubles and problems, I'm glad to know that God sees me where I am. But there are also times that I'm doing and saying and thinking things that I ought not to do and say and think. And I do not want to think about the reality of the fact God sees me and God hears me and God knows my thoughts. The Bible tells us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. God knows everything about us. God knows what we're going to do tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. God knows everything about us. The Bible says that God knows our thoughts afar off. You go back, you go forward in your life. If you live 10 years, God knows what you're going to think 10 years from now. You don't know what you're going to think or what you're going to do tomorrow. The Bible says we're not supposed to say, tomorrow we're going to do this or that. But rather we're to say, if the Lord will, if we live and the Lord is willing, we'll do this and do that. We're to acknowledge that we are finite creatures. We're limited in our ability. We're limited in our knowledge. We're limited in our ability to help each other. Isn't that true? Aren't we limited in what we can do to help other people? I mean, we can do a lot of things, but there are a lot of things we can't do. You need somebody that you can always call on night and day. And I know that we all say, and I believe that. I believe I can call on anybody here. I believe I can call on you in the middle of the night. And if I said, I need you tonight, I believe you would come. I believe we would all do that for each other. But we're weak and frail creatures. And two things. Number one, sometimes when someone comes or sometimes when I go somewhere, sometimes I'm not able to help the person with the problem that they have. But there's one who can help. And the second thing is, sometimes I get weak and weary physically and faint, and sometimes I can't go and I can't stay with you round the clock, day after day after day, night after night. I've done it with some people 3 or 4 days at a time where I stayed right with them round the clock for 2 or 3 or 4 days at a time. But listen, eventually, you know what I had to do? What did I eventually have to do? I eventually had to go home. I eventually had to go get some rest. But I'm talking to you this morning about someone who can hear you where you are and always be awake. God never sleeps. He never faints. He never gets weary. And He's always able to help you. So you need to thank the Lord for Him. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus Christ. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. We need Jesus. We need Jesus every day. We need Him every hour. And Jesus hears the voice of His obedient children wherever they are, right where they are. Even when you don't open your mouth, can you cry unto the Lord without even opening your mouth? Can you cry unto the Lord? The Bible says that the Spirit of God that dwells in us, it maketh utterings and groanings that we ourselves are not able to make. I can cry unto the Lord without opening my mouth. God can hear my cries. Have you ever cried? Have you ever been weeping inside and nobody else knew you were weeping? Have you ever been into the house of God and you put on a happy face and nobody else knew that you were weeping inside? Well, listen, brethren, Jesus knows the burden of your heart. And if you're trying to serve Him, He will hear you where you are, wherever you are. Isn't that a beautiful expression? And the Lord heard the voice of the lad. I just want to emphasize the lad. Little children. You know, the apostles didn't recognize how important little children were, did they? Nah, they wanted to push the children away. Jesus rebuked the apostles and said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of heaven." Does God care about these little children? Let me tell you something, brethren. These little children, sometimes I believe with all of my heart that their prayers mean more than any of the adults. I believe these little children have so much, they're so close to God sometimes, and their faith is so strong in God. I would love to have, and I do love to have, little children pray for me. Jesus knows all about your troubles. And Jesus listens to the voices of little children. You hear that? The Lord heard the voice of the lad where he was. I I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, but I believe I'd rather have all these little children praying for me than all the adults in the whole world. You get a little child that's sincere. You get a child that cares. You get a child that's concerned. You get a child that believes in God and has faith in God. Let me tell you something, brethren. The same thing that was true of Ishmael is true of these little children. And the Lord heard the voice of the lad where he was. Oh, how precious these children are. You might think I'm just talking about my grandchildren. I'm not just talking about my grandchildren. Every one of these little children in the church, every little child, listen, brethren, God has a people so great that no man can number. You think about how much, if you have grandchildren, you think about how much you love them. Well, God loves His people more than you love your grandchildren. God loves His people more than you love your children. God loves His people more than you love your spouse. God loves His people with an everlasting and a perfect love. And the Lord is pleased to help His obedient children. He will hear their voice where they are. Look now at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Speaking about how God sees all and knows all. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. What about dogs, birds, animals? Does God know about little birds? Oh, yes, He does. Yes, He does. Even a little bird that falls to the ground, God knows about it. There is not any creature. Do you follow that? Now, I'm not putting creatures on the same level as humans. The Bible does not do that. There is a vast difference in human beings and the animal world. The Word of God tells us that man was created in the image of God. The Word of God says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. There is a major difference in animals and humans. I just want you to see the magnitude of the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God and the vision of God. The Word of God says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in what? In His sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Does God see you? Does God see you? Did God see that little lad? Did the mama want to see the little lad right then? Did the mama want to see her? Didn't want to see him. Why didn't the mama want to see that little lad? Because she thought that was it. She thought it was all over. She thought the child was going to die. And listen, brethren, there'll be some things in your life that are so horrible that you just can't even look upon it. But our God sees all things. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now, you know what he says right after that? He says, now we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ. And since we have, let me read 14 through 16. After he talks about all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do, he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore... Now, why? Since we have this great high priest. Who is the great high priest? Again, who is the great high priest? Jesus Christ. Who does Jesus carry the prayers to? He carries the prayers to the Father. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Do I need your prayers? Do we need the prayers of each other? Do we need to pray for each other? Indeed we do. But I want all of you to know and understand, you can pray to God, and I can pray to God, and all of us can pray to God. It's only Jesus that we go to the Father through. He is the great high priest. I mentioned how the Lord heard the voice of the lad, and the Lord hears the voice of these little children. Does the Lord hear the voice of these old people that come from the nursing home? You think the Lord hears your voice, Sister Nellie? Yes, He sure He does. The Lord hears your voice. The Lord hears your voice. Doesn't matter how little a child is. Doesn't matter how old a person gets. The Lord hears the voice of His obedient children. And he sees them, and he knows everything, every problem, every need that they have. Now listen, because you have problems and you have needs, you need to know you have Jesus as the mediator between God and man. Now, I want to hasten to get into something I haven't touched on yet, other than I have said over and over and over, the Lord hears the prayers of... Have any of you noticed what I've kept emphasizing all the way through? The Lord hears the prayers of His what? Obedient children. I'm thankful somebody's listened very, very carefully. Because right now I want to go through and I want you to know that sometimes God's children have turned their backs on God and they would not serve God and they would not follow God. And when God's people, listen carefully to what I'm fixing to say, I'm talking about God's children, when God's children turn their backs on God, God will not hear their prayers. Now, you may not believe that right now, but I want you to look at God's holy word. I want you to know this. Why do I want you to know? Brother Jerry, why do I want you to know? Why do I need to know? That the idea that God hears the prayers of everybody anytime they want to call on Him, why do they need to know that is not true? Because God's children tend to go away from God. The songwriter wrote, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I need to know that when I go away from God, God's not going to go out there and live with me in the hog pen. I need to know that when I go away from God, I need to know that when I don't put God first in my life, I need to know that when God tells me something and I don't respond to God, when I don't hear Him talking to me, He says, I will not hear you when you call me. Now, that's taught repeatedly. You go home and read, Proverbs 1, 24. Proverbs 1, 24 through 31. I'm not going to go read that right now, but you go home and read Proverbs 1, starting with verse 24 and go through the end of the chapter, and you'll see that God does not always hear the prayers of His people. Now I want you to go to Isaiah. Back up in... Before you go there, go forward just three or four pages. I want you to look at 1 Peter. Calling on the name of the Lord. 1 Peter. Look in your Bibles, please, at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. How does it make you feel to be able to call on the Lord? Does it make you feel good to know that you can call on the name of the Lord? It ought to make you feel good to know that you can actually call on the name of the Lord. But the Bible says there's something else you ought to feel besides just feeling good that you can call on the name of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, listen please, starting with verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 14. We're talking about calling on the name of the Lord. The Lord heard the voice of the lad where he was. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, the Word of God says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What is God saying to His people? What did they better do? They better be obedient children, He says in verse 14. And then in verses 15 and 16, He says, we're to be holy. Can you be holy? Is there a holiness that you can reach? There are denominations that are called holiness. And I want to tell you this, I'm thankful that some people are striving for holiness. I'm not saying they are or not. I'm just saying you and I ought to be striving for holiness. We need to be living holy lives. We need to be holy as He is holy. Now listen to verse 17. Verse 17 says, and if ye call on the Father... Is there anybody here that calls on the Father? Is there anybody here that calls on the Father? Well, yes, we ought to. Everybody ought to. We're supposed to say, our Father which art in heaven. We're supposed to be calling on the Father. And He says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What does He say? If you call on the Father, you better pass the time of your sojourning here in what? In fear. Why? Because if you know God and you know that He's your Father, you need to also know that He judges you according to your works. And you better be careful about how you live. You better pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Fear of men? Fear of men? No. Fear of the things of the world? No. We're not to fear men. We're not to fear the things of the world. The only thing that we're to fear, the only one we're to fear is God. Fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments is the whole duty of man. If you call on the Father, what does God say here in His Word you better do? You better pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You better be obedient children. You better be holy. Come down to 1 Peter chapter 3. You go home and read 8 through 11. I'm not going to take the time to read that, but I want to come down to verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The Word of God says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the..." There's a little word there. "The eyes of the Lord are over the..." what? "The righteous." Now, brethren, there's an imputed righteousness that gets us into the eternal heaven, and there is a practical righteousness that comes as a result of keeping the commandments of God. The imputed righteousness is the only reason you're going to be in the eternal heaven. You're not going to be in the eternal heaven because you have been good enough to be in the eternal heaven. You're going to be in the eternal heaven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But in order to have fellowship with God here in this world, in the kingdom of heaven, you have to keep the commandments of God, and you have to strive to be what you ought to be. You have to strive to be holy. You have to strive to be righteous. And the Scripture says, "Here the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears..." Listen carefully now. Does He see the righteous? Is He watching them very carefully? "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." What does that imply? He hears the prayers of the righteous. That's all we'll nail down right here. Is He hears the prayers of the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. Listen. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Do you follow that? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, I want you to very quickly go to Isaiah. Turn back in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to be looking at just a couple of things here in Isaiah. And it's very, very important that you look at this in Isaiah chapter 1. Please, get a Bible, look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse 15. What does the text say? "God heard the voice of the lad where he was." God heard the voice of the lad where he was. Question I have for you this morning, does God hear your voice? Will God hear your voice? Say it again, Brother Jerry. If you're righteous and obedient, if you're trying to be holy, the Lord will hear your prayers. Isaiah chapter 1, listen please to verse 15. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, the Word of God says, and He's speaking to His people. He's speaking to His chosen people. He's speaking to Israel. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, He says, "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear." What does God say there? When you make many prayers, what does God say? Why do you think His people will eventually, why will His people in America, why will they eventually, why will they finally make many prayers? Anybody have any idea why there will come a time in America that across this nation that His people will make many prayers? When things get so bad, when we get to hurting so bad, we'll make many prayers. And God says, and that's what He was doing to Israel right here. He was bringing His judgments, and they were making many prayers. And He says, "When you make many prayers, I will not hear." Does God sometimes not hear your prayers? Did the Lord hear the voice of the lad where he was? Yes, He did. Will the Lord hear your voice today? Will the Lord hear your voice tomorrow? Will the Lord hear your voice? Listen to verse 16. Now, were they in a terrible condition, as is described in verse 15? And this morning, I hope that everybody here understands that there's nobody who has reached perfection. And we need to keep striving for perfection. And therefore, He says to His people, when He says, "I'm not going to hear your prayers," is there no hope for them? Listen to verse 16. Verse 16, He says, "Wash you." Now, is that something God's going to do for you, or something you have to do? That's something you have to do. Wash you, make you clean. Is that saying you can do something to clean up your life, to be holy? Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Does he see what you're doing? Put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What is God saying to His people here? Was He completely through with His people here? He wasn't through with them. Did He tell them He would not hear their prayers? Yes, He did. But what did He then tell them to do? He says, you straighten up. Wash you. Make you clean. Stop doing evil. Start doing good. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Does everybody hear that? I'm going to give you two verses in closing. Look, please, at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Look at verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59. And while you're turning there, I would remind you, and some people say, oh, that's just Old Testament. Let me tell you what Jesus said. People like to hear the words of Jesus, and I love to tell you what the words of Jesus say. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Jesus says, listen carefully, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. We're going to read from Isaiah. I don't forget, Brother Dennis, remind me. I know you don't have time to turn, but I want you to listen. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, Jesus says, Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Who said that? Jesus. Will Jesus deny your prayers to the Father? He's the only mediator. If you deny Him before men, and there are a lot of different ways that we deny Him, but if you deny Him before men, He will deny you before the Father. He will not carry your prayers to the Father. But if you confess Him before men, and I encourage every one of you that you daily confess Christ before men, and if you confess Him before men, He will confess your name to the Father. That little lad out there, you know what Jesus did? Jesus was back there, by the way. Jesus said, Father, Father, here's a little child right here. Here's a little child. And the Lord heard the voice of the lad where he was. Now listen to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and I'll close right here. The Word of God says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Does everybody know that? There's no weakness with God. He isn't coming up short. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. Is it that God can't hear? No, it's not that He can't hear, it's that He refuses to hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and that He will not hear. He will not hear. What causes God to not hear our prayers? When we've turned our back on God's Word and God's way, then He will not hear our prayers. May God help us today to rejoice. Listen carefully. May God help you to rejoice that even little children, that the Lord hears the voice of His little children when they are doing what He says. But the Lord will not hear the voice of His people when they turn their back on Him. May God help us to believe that and understand that truth is my prayer for Christ's sake.